The Old Testament reading is based on Jonah chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you, that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad. Rejoice, rejoice, be glad. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord,
Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all peoples. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Let the ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory and strength.
Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth.
Say among the nations, O kings, as the world is established, it shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity.
He will judge, heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it.
Shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord. For he comes to the earth.
He will judge the world in righteousness. And the peoples in his faithfulness. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever.
The epistle is from the 8th chapter of Romans. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed for us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in pains of childbirth until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord reigns. plains, let the earth rejoice, let the many coastlands be glad.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 8th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
When Jesus got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, Save us, Lord, we are perishing. And he said to them, Why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, What sort of man is this, that even winds and sea obey him? This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 7th chapter. Jesus said, Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, and not as their scribes. So far, the Holy Gospel. In the name of Jesus, amen. Rain is going to get you regardless. A foolish man built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. A wise man built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Conclusion? Expect weather anyway. You can't avoid it, you won't escape it. Doesn't take Jesus to figure out the forecast. Tomorrow or soon enough, everyone faces clouds. The cold and soggy kind, maybe already, and certainly from this point forward. You will find fronts ahead of you, dark and hard and heavy. at any time, in any place, to anyone, there will be storms, stinging and blinding. And these kinds don't just mess up hair and houses. These are the ones that mess up your heart and your hope. Much worse than the merely literal type, and more real too, these winds and rains go beyond targeting neighborhoods to taking aim at your very being. Quote, in this world you will have tribulation. Quote, do not be surprised, the world hates you. Quote, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Quote, I send you out as in the midst of wolves, always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, carrying around in the body the death of Jesus, hated by all for the sake of the name. Quote, the same sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And we face criticism and accusations, and we suffer being ridiculed and excluded, and we get labeled and discriminated. We undergo being interrupted and interrogated. We endure being apprehended and undermined. Neighbors slander, and once trusted associates sabotage because we speak truth. Experts betray us, and amateurs deprive us for showing love. Authorities bully, and celebrities embarrass us because we share good things. Enemies harass, and allies humiliate us because we sacrifice self. Even friends push us around and knock us down because we want to lend a real hand. You know, even Jesus couldn't elude it. The ever-loving incarnate God also went through this. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. All 12 disciples didn't evade it either. The 13 apostles, each of them martyred. And which of the prophets of old were not persecuted? Then hundreds of others under synagogues and Sanhedrins, further thousands of the faithful at the hands of the Caesars and the Sultans. Now millions more have been put to death by heathens and hedonists. Do not be deceived. The whole world has fallen. The entire universe, all creation, lies broken before us. But rules have consequences. So no matter how hard you try, how much you have, how pretty or popular you get, you can't avoid the weather. No matter how often you win, how long you fight, how strong you act, how smart you sound, you won't escape the storm no matter how fast you run or how far you go. No matter how compassionate or Christian you are, the rain is going to get you. But don't settle yourself into a persecution complex just yet. And hold up before you go playing the victim. The thing is, nobody, and that includes no one of us, can start building anything until he first stops tearing down. Now, the destruction is not the house's fault. The foundation isn't so much to blame. The problem originates with the inhabitant. And my brothers and sisters, the floods and gusts begin within, don't they? You and I are the danger. There is nothing that afflicts us as much as tripping over our own two left sinful fleshes. Even if we are passionately life-affirming, even when we are enthusiastically scriptural, even though we are intensely Christian, we still do not do the good we want, if indeed we want it at all. No, the evil we don't want, or, let's be honest, perhaps it is the evil which we precisely desire. This, in fact, we practice. How much more pitifully foolish we act than the guy who constructed on sand. He at least had one wary eye on the accumulating clouds and the approaching tempest and knew that he needed a shelter. Sinners like us just get angry. Hulk smash! We complain by nature. We keep score instinctively. We give in to our genetic predisposition toward presuming and name-calling. We indulge our innate affinity for feeling morally superior to that tax collector or that prostitute. We mock and malign the misguided compassion of our counterparts while manifesting very little of our own. We hide behind devoutly veneered disguises, beating others with Bibles, but only the sections that suit us. We copy and paste provocative rhetoric, and we parrot passive-aggressive sarcasm. We parade out our shame on yous and our I told you so's and our what he said's. And then we pelt them with the pieces of their own crumbling structures instead of perking up our ears and looking past exteriors to hear their deep down pleas, or better yet, usher them out before it all collapses completely upon them. And you know why? It's because we feel ashamed. So why shouldn't they? We feel alone and afraid. They have to also. Our vulnerability deserves theirs, right? Our misery warrants company. After all, they started it, and we are defending lives by destroying lives. As if our God only differs from theirs because he's bigger. How can we talk like every life matters when we treat so many like they don't? The Almighty Maker has simply so oriented humankind that you cannot impale a brother without at the same time opening your arteries. You can only fund a sister's suffering with your own. And stones thrown even at enemies can only come from the very walls that are supposed to shelter us. No, the words and the works of the law cannot spare you, and they cannot spare those whom you claim to serve. Neither by attempting to placate God, nor by attempting to implicate anyone else. We fail worse than fools. Good thing we don't have to shelter ourselves. And the good Lord sweeps aside all our self-made asylums. He rinses all such sanctuaries away before the rubble buries us. He raises them down while he raises around us so much more than even a house. The Lord God puts up a tabernacle and a shrine over you. And he puts us up in a palace, in a mansion. He situates us instead, unworthy as we are, inside his own impenetrable castle, behind his impregnable fortress. He makes us at home in his kingdom. We find our refuge upon the solid foundation of his apostolic promises and prophetic oracles, with nothing else than Christ Jesus himself, none less than the Son of the living God, both as cornerstone and capstone. Here is our lifeline. The heavenly word has become human substance. The divine love materializes among us with dimensions in motion, and this stricken rock streams forth life in his blood like cool water to cleanse, to quench, and quicken. Jesus chiseled God's body into a rolled back boulder that reveals your conviction is overturned. Our sentence is vacated. The record of humankind's sins has been expunged, and all that's left is an open-hearted, arms-outstretching Father. Crucified carpenter weathered and endured the storms we brought on. He withstood and emptied all of God's wrath on our behalf. He suffered punishment and undertook atonement for your benefit. He balanced and reconciled all the accounts already to your credit. He has settled and retired the debt for humankind's sake, and Jesus has laid to rest any reckoning remaining in each person's favor. Now he has evicted the evil one in our place and secured us life everlasting. Because from sin's judgment flood, Jesus Christ has emerged alive again. He lives to build dwelling places out of the beams that he bore. And he assembles safe spaces with the nails that he wore. So God encompasses failures and fools within the four walls of his deep compassion and everlasting mercy. He encircles sinners and losers with several stacked up stories of unconditional acceptance, loving you as you are. He envelops runaways and outcasts in the vast windows of God's forgiveness and the wide views of salvation. He encloses rejects and runts in hall after hall of finally belonging and rooms upon rooms of being beloved. He embraces the beggars and the bums in closets full of lasting joy and cabinets stuffed with steadfast hope. He enfolds the vulnerables and the have-nots in the cellars of his respite and the ceilings of his peace. And God cradles bothers like us and freaks like those around us, cradles them through the doorways of his comfort into the gardens of his grace. Know this, that his household assembled about you stands effective against even the worst sudden ambushes and sustained offenses that Satan, the fallen cosmos, and the sinful flesh can send after you. Believe it yourself with a blessed abandon, because the Lord of creation and the King of the universe cannot love more than he has, and he will never love less than he does. Cling to him as your own and claim yourself as entirely his. Derive your assurance and security from the structure that he has made, baptismal fatherliness. Obtain your solace and your delight in the estate that he maintains by the Eucharistic closeness. The Lord Jesus is a mansion for all seasons. So now, what will you do with the extra? What are you going to do with all the extra? The wise man's house has not fallen. Rains and winds may come, but even the very gates of hell itself shall not, no, cannot ever prevail against it, because it has been founded upon the rock. The foolish one's house, however, already fell. Great is the fall of it, because it's built from sand. And fools just like us lie and writhe in the wreckage of their makeshift paper shacks. But here we stand, safe and strong, with roofs in spades and rooms to spare. What will come of the buffoon hearts who have no homes because theirs got blown down? What of those who are deceived? And the desperate ones? What about those who've been abandoned and now are alone? How will the guilty conscience and the grieving individual end up? Who will tend to the pressured and the pained, the unborn, the elderly, the chronic and the terminal, and those souls that, though they do not know it, are still enslaved to sin and obsessed only with self? Are they not handmade by the same Almighty God? Are they not redeemed by the same incarnate Savior? Are they not longed for and sought after by the same Father, Son, and Spirit? Are they not our own flesh and blood, living blessings from him to us among his highest gifts and greatest privileges? Guess what? We get to take part in their rescue. We have a front row seat to observe God's miracles and an open invitation to assist in them. We may continue speaking truth and trust that it changes hearts. We must keep on showing love and know that it saves lives, regardless of how it feels. We will advocate respect and ensure protection for them just as we enjoy it. We will find motivation and take action that proves that they are precious, everyone. We will stop and see them, because this is how God beholds us. We will listen the way that Jesus receives. We will accompany them as he abides beside us. We will invite, we will welcome, for he has brought us in. We will brave the hurt and befriend the injured ones, because this is just how Jesus finds us and binds us up. And we will absolve them, even of their sins against our hearts. And we will offer ourselves and all that we have, since this is the way that God freely gives himself and all that he has. We will treat them and their bodies and their circumstances as special to heaven's whole household. And we will not rest or relent until we witness what our Lord already foresees: the chambers of his own eternal manor filled to the 361st degree and festive unto the 366th day. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.